And a big good evening to you. Welcome into the game right here on a Friday evening in Tuscaloosa as we get you ready for Alabama-LSU, hours away from that big game. Matter of fact, 25 hours. Brought to you by Rumsey Environmental right here on Tide 99.1. What'd you have for lunch today? I had a couple of corn dogs, a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of mustard. A lot of corn dogs will be served throughout the weekend. Where did the name corn dog come from? Somebody help me out. What was the origin of that? At the game, WDGM on the Twitter account. Can anybody help me out? What was the origin of LSU fans being called the corn dog? I'm just kidding, by the way, on the corn dog. I didn't eat corn dogs for lunch. Okay, I'm just teasing about that. As we move forward here on the OK Tire Stores hotline, I welcome in a big guest, a big part of our program. He was the second leading rusher back in 1992. Martin Houston, welcome into the game here in Tuscaloosa.
Ryan, I am ready to travel down to Baton Rouge. Man, that's one of those games that just holds a special place. The first time I ever played in LSU was in 89, and if we won the game, we secured a spot as at least a share of the SEC championship game. So it always holds a special spot in my heart.
So. Did you guys have corn dogs prior to the game? Like as a pregame meal?
No, we did not. I was wondering where you were going with the corn dog opening. So, but no, we didn't have corn dogs. We had a little Bengal tiger, though, before the game was over.
Okay, I'm still looking for the origin of that, because I know Katy Perry a couple of weeks ago, she threw corn dogs when she was talking about LSU. I know it's something that we've sort of just picked up on. Les Miles has had to comment about it in press conferences. I'm just looking for the origin. At the game, WDGM on the Twitter account, let me know. So as we move on, coming off of this bye week, Martin, what does a bye week do in the SEC? You get a chance to sort of recharge the batteries, but mentally you get focused on the task ahead, because the month of November is going to be rough for the Crimson Tide. But if they make it through and they get to Atlanta, they win that game, they could be called champions at the end of this month.
Yeah, no doubt, Ryan. November is that tough time of the year. And, hey, we hadn't had a lot of success. If you look back over Saban's time in November, had a couple big losses. So it's definitely a critical time, especially the way the season has laid out for us this year. But you talk about, what does a bye week do? Now, a lot of times people talk about the physical aspect of it, Ryan, and that's good. When you play in the SEC, you need time off for the bumps and the bruises and the nicks. Not even, you know, and it helps you when you have guys like Cam Robinson and Yeldon who have serious injuries, but it helps every player. Now, the other side of that is the players can't stand by week because you only get so many weeks to play and you want to play every weekend. But one of the aspects that sometimes people miss, I think, Ryan, when you look at why do some teams fall in November, sometimes it goes back to even the academic pressure. Tunnels are getting closed. The workload, the school load is getting heavy, and it's all piling on. And, man, sometimes guys just cannot focus both on the school and the football. And so when you have a bye week, it doesn't only help you with the football side of it. It actually allows you to catch up sometimes on some of that schoolwork as well when it's at this point in the season.
And I'm sure that's going to be a big focus as we close out this month. Let me go back to Tiger Stadium for a couple of minutes. You talked about getting that win. You talked about eating some of that Bengal Tiger a little bit throughout the game. But let's talk about the environment, because this is truly one of the great traditions in college football. It's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. This is what separates the college game from the professional game. This is what makes college football so special.
It really is, but, you know, the irony of this series, like, you have some different aspects to different series. Tennessee is streaky. Well, with this one, the home team has actually lost more games than the guests. The visiting team on both fields have had more success than you would imagine, especially Alabama down in Baton Rouge. So, even though it's a great environment, man, it is awesome, Ryan, to run out, and that stadium is rocking. But I don't know that it impacts the Tide the way it does most teams that go into Death Valley because of the success we've had for so many years, especially under Coach Bryant and into the Coach Stallings era.
Yeah, I think Coach Bryant lost to them one time, and that was like in the early 60s. So as far as down there. Now, he had a pretty good record against LSU. Alabama's got a very good record against LSU in Baton Rouge. And as you said, LSU's got a pretty good record in Tuscaloosa. I think they're 10-9 overall in Tuscaloosa. So as we continue to talk about LSU, let's start where I think the game comes down to. I know everybody wants to talk about Smash Mouth football, but Lane Kiffin, one of the things that makes him so good is he's unpredictable. And if we predict that Alabama's going to try to run the football, he's probably going to try to throw the football. Because he likes to be unpredictable, and now he goes to the shoulder of Blake Sims.
And Ron, when you look at this team, even though we had, you know, some unbelievable running backs, and everybody talks about the three-headed monster, Drake's gone, so now you're down to two. And to me, Henry has not picked up his game this year the way I expected him to, and Yeldon, to me, has ran like a man possessed. But that's not our strong suit. And now when we get lined up in two tight end and a fullback, we look like the old Alabama running the ball. But you're exactly right. Lane Kiffin, I think offensive coordinator is what he really is. He is – it's almost like when you put together – I'm using this term, talking about football – but a dance routine. You choreograph the moves to build off of each other. And Lane Kiffin does that.
Time out, Martin. Hold on just a minute, okay? Because you got to help me understand this. You said you got to coordinate the dance routine?
You choreograph the dance routine to build off of each move.
Okay. Now, for a guy that I don't dance very well, okay? When you say white man don't have moves, I'm that guy, okay?
I see that.
Okay, you could see that. Okay, so explain. So you're saying that he's setting up some of this for the next play, or maybe later in the game, or maybe towards the end of the dance, right? See if I can catch it on.
You're catching on exactly. Homer Smith was a mastermind at it, and I think Lane does the same thing. Lane has probably 15 to 20 plays that he wants to call right off the bat, no matter what they do. And the purpose of offense coordinator scripting out their plays, Ryan, is to see what the defense does against certain formations in certain routes. And so he's calling certain plays early on in the game. Now, fortunately for us, a lot of times they've worked, but those plays are telling him, giving him information for him to make other plays as the game progresses. So you're absolutely right. I think that's what we missed under AJ and Nussmeier, was that we didn't set stuff up. We were just calling one play here, one play there, but it was not a pattern being established so that you could come back to something later on. You run, you know, the quick hook pass to an Amari Cooper to see if that safety is going to bite so you can turn around and run a hook and go. You know, you throw the quick screen, bubble screen, that DB is going to immediately come up when Amari turns and faces. If he does, he turns and faces next time he runs a streak by him, you know, on a fly route. So you're setting up things, and you do that with both the pass and the run. And I think that is where Lane Kiffin really sets himself apart from a lot of coordinators.
Martin Houston, right now inside the game, as we move on, brought to you by Rumsey Environmental. It's a one-stop shop serving West Alabama for all of your waste removal needs. Martin, let me go to another conversation. When you look at Leonard Fournette a couple of minutes, now he is a true freshman. This time last year, he was in high school football. I'm asking you this question. And I know they're coming off of a bye week too, so he's probably got his batteries recharged. But something tells me it takes you a little bit of time to adjust, and we're seeing a better Leonard Fournette in the game. But at what point do you start wearing down because your endurance is not like it was when you have that SEC experience? To me, this month of November will be challenging for him because of not conditioning, but just endurance. He's not accustomed to going through this league, the toughest league in all of college football. And you're a freshman just out of high school, and you're the back that they're asking to run the football. And they've relied heavily on Fournette to win some games because Jennings is not able to do it with his shoulder.
Yeah, Ryan, and first of all, you have to be a special athlete to come into this league in the caliber of teams that we're talking about in the West and play, period. So we recognize that he's a special back. But what it takes to physically play football in the pounding when you're getting hit 30, 25, 30, 40 times and on those plays, 3, 4, 5 guys are hitting you, you're just not used to that. In high school, he may run it 30 times, Ryan, but he may not get hit but a total of 30 times, meaning one guy hits him, he breaks the tackle, and he's gone. Next time one guy hits him, breaks it. And as you see, every run he's getting hit, not just with the initial tackle, but the second and the third guy piling on, and then and the weight of the guys and the strength of the guys. And so it does add up. And here's the difference, though, Ryan. The reason these guys don't seem to work down as much as freshmen used to is I believe they're coming in as well conditioned as we did our sophomore, junior year. These kids are coming out of high school somewhere already in that second, third year of conditioning. So it's still that drain. But more importantly than that, Ryan, the more you play in SEC, the more plays you put in, the more the playbook expands, and the more the mental game begins to wear on you. And that's where you see freshmen really hurt their teams late in the season. It's because you can't just line up and run the ball when you get into November, because that other team has figured out the base offense. Now you're having to think, and they're starting to send more blitz packages and things like that. And that's where the wear and tear comes. Not just physically, but multiply it with the mental aspect.
Getting ready for LSU, hours away right now. Martin Houston inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. All right, Martin, you're a pastor. You're appreciated for that role that you serve throughout our community. But I gotta ask you here. You gotta be completely honest with me on this. I mean completely. I know you always are, but I mean I need complete honesty out of you on this one. Silence. Martin, are you okay?
I'm waiting.
Okay. You have been a president of the Blake Sims fan club.
Yes.
You said he was a gamer. You said he was a guy that when the light switch went on, he began to play football. And you could see it in him. And I remember going back and you said, everybody just calm down. Okay, Blake Sims is going to be that guy. Earlier this week, Davey O'Brien, which awards the top quarterback in college football, he was one of the semifinalists there. He's also being talked about, if he has a great month of November, that he could be in the Heisman Trophy ballot. He could be part of that conversation. Martin, you were the president of the fan club. If I would have told you that we would even be having this conversation of Blake Sims even mentioned in the name Heisman, Davey O'Brien, semifinalist, looking at what he's accomplished, quarterback rating, top two or three guy in college football, leading the SEC in this, leading the SEC. Martin, did you believe it? Would you think that we would be having this conversation in November?
I would love to say I thought it would be this good, but Ryan, no. It is absolutely amazing what Blake Sims has done. And you know, one of those statistics that you really can't measure how important it is when he gets those third downs. He's like the top quarterback in the nation on third down conversion as well, somewhere in that top two or three. But what he has done is absolutely amazing. And I knew he could play the game, and I knew he had some things. And he had a great coach who knows how, in terms of Kiffin, who knows how to get the most out of his quarterback because we saw him do it at Tennessee. So I was hoping that we could have a special year at quarterback, but nothing compared to what Blake Sims has been able to do. And kudos to the young man for sticking it out, hanging in there when everybody doubted him, called him out, said he couldn't do it, and he just stuck to it. His teammates stuck with him, and, of course, we see the result of it. He has his team in a position that if he continues to play well and they play well around him, he very well could be the three-peat that I talked about, where Nick Saban's first-year starter wins a national championship three different times in a row.
I knew you'd be honest with me. I knew you would. And I think that's where we go back. And Blake Sims has already left for Baton Rouge here on a Friday evening, okay? So there's no chance that he's listening. But the way that he has stood up on the character side is just as important on the field, because he represents the University of Alabama with a lot of class. He showed that. You know, you see nowadays in social networks where guys take it to the social networks. They put it on Twitter. Hey, I'm not happy, you know. Blake Sims never did that. He handled all this the way that you should handle it, and I think it's a hats off to not only him, but his parents and many that influenced him, including Coach Nick Saban. Martin, I've enjoyed the conversation. I'm going to throw it back to you.
Hey, I've enjoyed it too, and you're right, Ryan. He's not just doing it at a high level. He's doing it with the type of class that makes you proud that he's playing for the Tide. And talk about making someone proud. I'm proud to be a part of the Alpha Insurance Team, the best agents in the business right here in Tuscaloosa, Northport, West Alabama. If you're looking for auto, home, or life insurance, stop by my office over on Lurling Wallace Boulevard, 1211 Lurling Wallace Boulevard, or call me, 205-826-1381. And when you give me that call or stop by to see me, make sure you ask me about life insurance so I can help you protect the people you love the most. And, Ryan, I appreciate every week the opportunity to come and be a part of the game.
Let's go beat the corn. Bengal Tigers. My bad. Martin Houston, I'm just teasing with you, man. Have a great week. We'll talk next Friday.
All right. Talk to you next Friday.
Absolutely. That's Martin Houston helping us out. Breakdown college football. Let me remind you, it's Bama stuff right here in Tuscaloosa, one block away from the stadium, either on University Boulevard or Bryant Drive. You'll find Bama stuff. Unique items as you head to the Baton Rouge area. You want to look sharp for the Crimson Tide? You want to look sharp for Mississippi State coming to town? BamaStuff.com, BamaStuff.com, Bama stuff on University Boulevard, and also Bama stuff right there on Bryant Drive. Southern Pipe and Supply here in Tuscaloosa, also a huge part of our program, right off of Jug Factory Road. Tom and all the guys, I promise you, they'll take great care of you at Southern Pipe and Supply. We'll continue with more of the game next on Tide 99.1, Tide 99.1.com, the home of Alabama sports.